The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Joseph Prince Ministries. Today with Joseph Prince.
When God hears that you want Him, but you are afraid your sins have disqualified you from all His blessings, but God tells the angels, go get her, go get him. My heart is so full of love. My hand is so able. I am underutilized. I want to bless somebody. Somebody put your head under my hand of blessing. I got so much blessing, but so few to bless them with. So few people rather to bless them with so much that I have. Oh man, that's the heart of our God today. God is for you. God is looking out for you. When the prodigal son came home, the father ran towards him. God is a good God. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad to be a believer? Amen. Once upon a time, the law, man lived under the law, and the law demanded righteousness from man. But today we are under the grace of God because of what Christ has done, and the grace of God dispenses righteousness to man. One is demanding, so you must perform. The other, He gives you, so you must receive. Which do you think is better? To be under law or under grace? Under grace, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Today we receive everything because of another's obedience, Jesus Christ. Or you rather be under law, where every good thing you receive is because of your obedience. Well, you know what? No one can obey God to qualify for all the blessings. So thank God we are no longer under the old system of the law. We are under the system of grace. Let me illustrate. You know, the story of David and Jonathan, a friendship between these two men that we find is so heartwarming in the Bible. When David killed Goliath, the Bible tells us that Jonathan, when he met David, he found in David a kindredness because he was a champion himself. Remember the story of how Jonathan scaled the walls, the steep walls of Michmash, and defeated the Philistines. 21 of them fell before him. All right, and here he find the giant Goliath falling before this young man, 17-year-old boy, David. And he liked David. And they exchanged, they made a covenant with one another. And they are now blood brothers. And one of the rituals they go through is that they make an incision on their wrists. Blood is shed. And they'll join their wrists together. So now they are blood brothers. That means all that you have belongs to me. All that I have belongs to you. Amen. If someone attacks you, it's attacking me. David was 17 years old, and Jonathan probably slightly older, but they became blood brothers from then on. Now, Jonathan comes from a family that hated David. His father, King Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time, did not like David. He hated David and was jealous of David because David killed Goliath, and the Holy Spirit has left him and come on David. So he was always jealous, always careful, always had evil thoughts about David. But his son, Jonathan, and David were very close. Amen. And Jonathan many a times would warn David about what his father would do. Well, many years came and gone, and David is still running from King Saul. And King Saul even nearly killed his son because of David, because his son would defend David. Of all the good things that Jonathan has done, before Jonathan died with his father on the battle of the Mount Gilboa, Jonathan did something in the midst of all the great things he did. One thing he did not do, he never went to be with David. David was with his mighty men, and he never identified himself with David. There are people who are believers, but they never identify themselves with a church. You know, people say, you're a Christian. Once in a while, you know, on Sunday, I just follow my wife. You know, it's a good thing to do, family time bonding and all that. You know, they don't want to identify themselves with our heavenly David, the true son of David, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, but those who were with David, they all didn't die. They were alive. But those who were with King Saul, they all died on Mount Gilboa, including Jonathan, David's covenant brother. So when Jonathan died, the news came back to King Saul's house. The news was that Jonathan and his father, King Saul, is dead. Now imagine the whole household heard that news, that the house of Saul, when they heard the news, What would you think of when you hear that your father and the king has died, and your grandfather is the king, and your father has died? Of course, it's bad news, isn't it? By this point in time, Jonathan has a son. His name is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. His name means to breathe out shame. What a name. To breathe out shame. And Mephibosheth was 5 years old when he heard the news came to the house that his father Jonathan died with the grandfather, the king, King Saul. And what happened is that the whole house was in turmoil. They were afraid that David might come because they've always been hearing bad news about David. King Saul always peddled fear in the family, all right, telling them that one of these days David is going to come and kill all of you so that he can get the throne. You're all in line for the throne, and David's eye is on the throne. But nothing could be further from the truth. David's heart was for the house of King Saul. David loved Saul. In fact, more than one time, God delivered King Saul into David's hands. David refused to kill King Saul. Amen. There are many, many people, including your friends, your colleagues, who think of God in a bad way, in a hard way. They have wrong thoughts of God. They have a bad opinion of God. They think that God is out to get them. God is out to punish them. God wants to give them sickness. God wants to give them diseases. Even professionals who are university graduates, even people who are in professional line will quote this in black and white and make it legal. All right, not responsible for acts of God. Tsunami, earthquake, accidents. And they call this acts of God. No one calls it acts of the devil. And then they attribute to the devil everything that is good and pleasurable. For example, they say that, wow, this cake is sinfully good. It's sinfully sweet. Have you heard of devil's cake? Or they'll say of a guy, that handsome devil. He's a handsome devil. You heard of that, Kailin? Handsome devil. You don't hear handsome angel. You heard that about your father, is it? People say he's a handsome devil. You know, it's sad because you know what? The devil is not handsome. Jesus is the fairest of 10,000. He is altogether lovely. But the world is calling white, black, black, white, evil, good, good, evil. Amen. So we have to know what is right and what is wrong. So David, when King Saul died with his son Jonathan, the whole house, the whole palace was afraid of David. They had a wrong thought of David that was peddled by the king himself. The king says, one of these days, David's going to come and kill all of you. So in the panic, a maid took the five-year-old boy, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Don't forget, David and Jonathan are actually blood brothers. And David would have defended Mephibosheth with his own life. But instead, because of the fear, the lie that has come upon the human race, that God is after them. So people are shunning God, running away from God. Amen. They are so afraid that God will punish them. God will judge them. God will give them a disease. Or God will give them an accident. They are so afraid. And it's a lie. It's based on a lie. While the real culprit, the devil, goes free. Amen. So nonetheless, the woman took that five-year-old boy and she ran. And the Bible says she dropped him. And the boy became lame in his feet. Now here is a truth, a typology. All right? The maid represents the law. The law cannot help you walk with God. The law was not given by God to help you walk with Him. The law exposes your sin. So when the maid, by the way, is a picture of the law, because like Hagar, she's a picture of the law. Whereas Sarah is the lawful wife, the true wife. Amen. Because that lady was a maid, she dropped him. And it's a picture of someone fallen from grace, because at that point in time, you read your Bible, he was 5 years old, Mephibosheth. He was 5 years old. So whenever you run to the law for help, all right, the law will drop you. It cannot help you. And you fall from grace. You fall from grace. So nonetheless, they took that lame boy and they brought him somewhere. And he lived all the days of his life in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar. It was a place where of low standards and lowering the bar. Oh, literally, by the way, in Hebrew, Lodabar means, low means no, nothing. Right, low. Dabar is God's word. Or it can also mean pasture. So no word from God, no pasture. God never meant for man to live in the desert. If God meant for man to live in the desert, then Adam and Eve will be living in the desert. God put them in a garden. What is the opposite of a garden? A desert with no provision. So there he was, the son of a king, a prince, lame in his feet, living all the days of his years as a boy, growing up as a teenager. He was living out there in Lodabar. No pasture, no word from God. And all the while, David was longing for him. Maybe you are in a place where you don't hear God's voice. God's word is not coming to you. You're not conscious of how much God loves you. You don't hear the voice of love coming to you from heaven. You don't realize how much God loves you. But God is out looking for you. God is looking for you. Amen. And you are living in a place called Lodabar. No pasture, no garden, no greenery. And you have accepted this dry, parched place as your lot in life. But God has better things for you. And God never forgets covenant. I say God never forgets covenant. And just as that covenant was made, all right, in the wrist of Jonathan and David, and they joined the wrist, and their blood flowed as one. 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ, his wrists were pierced and blood flowed, the blood that cleanses us from every sin. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to make a covenant with the human race. See, the new covenant is not cut between a holy God and sinful man. Because if it's between God and man, God can keep his part. But can man keep his part? No way. It'll be over before the night comes. Amen. Come on now. But what God did was this. God cut the covenant with his son who came to represent all of us. That's the reason why Jesus came as a man. Although he is God, he came as a man to represent all of us. But praise be to God, he is not like us. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh. And because he was spotless, he was sinless, he was perfect, he was the perfect man who can represent us to cut a new covenant with God Almighty. So that all that God has, we can have. All of God's power, love, grace, mercy, we can have. But we cannot be the one to make the covenant. So Jesus made the covenant with God. Amen. And that's a picture also we see in the Old Testament when Abraham cut a covenant with God. He cut an animal, five types of animals. He cut them in half and there's blood everywhere. And Abraham was supposed to go through the pieces of the animal. That's what they do in those days. If you and I cut a covenant, you are standing there, I'm standing here, we have to walk on blood. And then when I stand at your place, you stand at my place, that means your place is now mine, my place is yours, your house is mine, my house is yours, all right? We all share everything from now on. We are now blood brothers. But you know what happened before Abraham could cross? If Abraham crossed, Abraham had it. If he cut a covenant with God, God can keep his part. But can Abraham keep his part? And if Abraham cannot keep his part, the pieces of the animals is a picture of, if I don't keep my part of the covenant, may God make me like these pieces of the animal, split apart. So you know what God did in his mercy? God knew that Abraham cannot and should not go through the pieces of the animal. And yet God wanted to cut a covenant with Abraham. You know what God did? God put Abraham to sleep. And then someone appeared on Abraham's behalf. The Bible says a pillar of fire. It was at night. It was so bright. And then God appeared in the pillar of cloud. And the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire cross. You know who is the pillar of fire? Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The pillar of cloud that appeared in the Old Testament, God the Father, cross. So Jesus cut for Abraham. In other words, if Abraham's seed ever failed, Jesus will pay the price. And he'll be split apart. And not just that. Jesus' obedience, Abraham's blessings. Amen. How many understand that? So we are not the covenanters, we are the beneficiaries. You can say that Abraham was a sleeping partner when all this took place. So praise be to God. After David became king, many years have come and gone. David would look at his hand at times and he will see the scar where he cut a blood covenant with Jonathan, his brother. And he will look at it and says, Jonathan, Jonathan, my brother, if only you have not died, you will sit beside me today. He says, Jonathan, Jonathan. Then one day, you know, out of the overflow of his heart, David cried out in his palace, is there anyone still alive from Jonathan's family that I can show mercy, grace, and kindness to? Is there still anyone alive? And one of the servants says, Lord, actually, there is. See, who is it? Jonathan has a son. And David says, where is he? He's in Lodabar. The which nightclub? Yeah. Which bar? Lodabar. No pasture, no word. That's what it means in Hebrew. And David says, go get him. And his heart was so happy. That's what happens when God hears that you want him, but you are afraid your sins have disqualified you from all his blessings. But God tells the angels, go get her, go get him. My heart is so full of love. My hand is so able. I am underutilized. I want to bless somebody. Somebody put your head under my hand of blessing. I've got so much blessing, but so few to bless them with. So few people, rather, to bless them with so much that I have. Oh, man, that's the heart of our God today. God is for you. God is looking out for you. When the prodigal son came home, the father ran towards him. God is a good God. Amen. And the moment Mephibosheth, his name means what? Breathing out shame. For years, he breathed out shame. He was a prince, but he lived beneath his privileges. He was a prince, but he lived like the pauper. And then finally he heard the sound of horses and chariots coming to his house. He says, oh no, they found me. At last, Tiana. Apama. Vada. Lodaba. Also can find me. And the door opens and David's royal guard stands there in royal regalia and said, are you Mephibosheth? And the dog, look at him. So come with me. King David wants you. Say, Matia. So that's it. He has finally found me. And that's how the human race thinks of God. They think that, you know, when God, someone invites you to church, well, that's it, man. And the Bible tells, shall we follow the story? All right, turn to your Bibles. It's all in your Bible, by the way. Turn with me now to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. You can't find it, just listen, okay? Don't pretend to go through it if you don't know where is it. All right? Never mind, just listen. So verse 1, now David said, is there still anyone that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? All right. So someone says, yes, Mephibosheth. All right. Then King David, verse 5, sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Say Lodabar. It means what? No garden or no word. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. Now, imagine all these years, you have heard of David as being after you. David has been blamed for your father's death. David is the one that is accused. And by the way, the father died because of the Philistines, not because of David. And all this kind of false accusations of David, just like many people, they hear of God in a bad way. God sends accidents. You know, tsunami is the act of God. Earthquake is the act of God. And the devil laughed himself one corner because of the stupidity of human race. Amen. God is a good God. God loves you. Amen. So imagine right now, Mephibosheth in front of King David. David says, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And he's trembling. The Bible says he's prostrate, flat on the ground. He did not even look up. David says, "Mephibosheth, here I am, your servant." Wet everywhere. You gotta use your imagination when you read the Bible. Amen. Look at what David said. This is so beautiful. He expects judgment, but David said to him, verse 7, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid." The first word from David, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." If you have ears to hear, when you come to God, even when you sin, God says to you, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat at my table continually." So listen, this lame boy, Mephibosheth, David says, "Don't be afraid. I will show you kindness for Jonathan's sake." God is speaking loud and clear to you. All the blessings that God has for you, God will give it to you. God will show you kindness, not for your own sake, not because you are good, but because God is good. Jesus' work at the cross is good. Amen. And God will show you kindness for Jesus' sake. God will show your family kindness for Jesus' sake. God will heal your body, bless your finances because of Jesus' sake. Amen. It's not a question of how good you are anymore. It's a question of how good Jesus' work on the cross is. I will show you kindness for Jonathan's sake. Mephibosheth, don't be afraid. David said to Mephibosheth, "All I want from you, eat at my table continually. And when you bring your lame feet to my table, I don't want you to see your feet. Put your feet under the table. No one will see your feet. No one will see your sin. No one will see your weakness. When you come to the table, everyone is focused on the food. Because if the truth was known, we look under the table, everybody is lame. Everybody has sin. But don't worry about your lameness. Keep it out of sight. Keep on focused on the food. The more you eat the food, you discern the Lord's body, your leg shall be healed. You shall be well. You shall be whole. Your walk with God, all right, will be there. Just keep on feeding at the table continually." And that's what you're doing right now. You're feeding on the word. Amen. Now, there was a servant called Ziba in David's house. So David shouted for him, "Ziba, Ziba, Andre, Andre." So Ziba came in. Ziba says, "Yes, master." And David says, "Mephibosheth from now on will eat at my table continually. But you and your sons and your servants will work at the field to bring him produce. You will work, and whatever you work for will be given to him." All right? To the servant, he gives commands. To the son, adopted son, there's no command. Only don't be afraid. Words of grace. You are God's sons and daughters. God commands servants. God speaks grace to you.